Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Gerrard. And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why am I here, Phil? I'll tell you why I'm here, Phil. I'm interrupting this episode of the Crash Bang Wallet Podcast to bring you a very special announcement. First of all, I'm very sorry about this episode being late. I had to go to Glastonbury and dye my arse in an extremely hot tent for an hour. And that did push us back a little bit. And secondly, to say that a huge apologies, but this is going to be the last episode of Crash Bang Wallop. Not forever, just for a little bit. Essentially, one of my bodily organs has gone bananas and needs to be exercised by a trained professional. But as soon as I'm up and better, we'll get back to doing the podcast every 2 weeks, covering some of the most horrific things that have ever happened in the world. We're going to be covering some great things in the coming months. We're going to be doing the Victoria Hall Stampede of 1883. That's an extremely bleak one to come back with. We'll be doing the Halifax Explosion, the biggest non-nuclear explosion of all time. The Great Molasses Flood of 1919. The 1971 Iraq Poison Grain Disaster. Also things like the San Francisco Plague of 1904 and the absolutely disastrous Shania Twain Center. So I'm looking forward to all of those. I'm sorry there's going to be a slight hiatus over the summer, but we will be back sometime in the late autumn, early winter with some new fantastically horrific disasters that have happened around the world. But for now, let's get back to today's horrific instalment of the Crash Bang Wallet Podcast. Thanks very much, and I'll see you in a few months. Bye-bye!
Welcome to the CB Wallet Podcast. I'm Phil Lucas.
And I'm Phil Gerrard. Why on earth am I here this early in the morning, Phil?
We're going to talk about great disasters in world history, Phil, and some of those ones you've never ever heard of. We're going to talk about what went wrong, how it went wrong, and whether it was our fault, as in people in general, or almighty God's fault.
Okay. But remember, Phil, I don't think it should be our intention to make light of the sometimes quite substantial mortality rates involved in some of these disasters, what we've been talking about, is it?
Nope.
We're just interested in finding out what went wrong. And be honest with yourself, Phil, if it came on the news, I reckon you'd be interested, because you're, boy, I am a piece of shit.
I would, Phil. And I can't say fairer than that.
Wicked. What are we wanging on about this week?
A film called Roar.
Good God, how to describe Roar? Most films you talk about maybe the plot, or you talk about, you know, the action sequences. Roar is a thing unto itself. It is almost a series of dailies strung together in which something goes horribly wrong in every single shot.
There are lots of different films that we could do for this podcast. Like, we could do the Heaven's Gate film that, like, nearly crushed a studio.
Yes, we put that down at the bottom of our list.
Yes, we could do that. We could do The Island of Dr. Moreau, where everyone sort of got drunk and everything went... And we could even do Apocalypse Now, where the place washed away.
Mm.
But the reason we're doing Roar is because I don't think there's anything madder than this. And it's actually... It's not really about a film. It's not about... This podcast is not going to be about a film, is it?
No, and I think that's what I liked about it, because once I started looking into it, it actually became quite interesting, because it's not really about the film. There are millions, billions probably, of film podcasts. All of which are obviously boring because they're talking about films. I mean, I can't deny I'd rather be doing a gas explosion or a plane crash. But
well, what are we doing next week?
We're here now, Phil. What are we doing next week? I haven't decided yet, but it won't be
no,
a film.
No, we have. We're doing that. We're doing loads of children getting crushed in Victorian England,
exactly.
Don't we?
Exactly. That's what this podcast is all about.
Next week, you'll be happy.
Yeah.
But come on, this is a story about people being eaten by lions, for Christ's sake.
It did get better, I must admit. The more I got into researching it, I realised this isn't a film.
No.
This is just manic footage of people, some of them quite well-known people, being mauled.
By lions. I mean, okay, so let's get into it. Let's actually talk about it. So, Phil, Roar.
Yes.
Roar. 1981.
Yes.
What was it?
It was a film. Released in 1981,
yes,
as you said, that was about people living with big cats in Africa, although it was all filmed in America.
Was it really?
Mm.
Well, that surprises me. I was going to say one of the things that was really nice about it was all of the beautiful shots of Africa.
Well, that's the thing. I think they must have gone out there and taken some beautiful landscape shots, which are lovely. Yeah. But I think all the ranch and stuff was all in California.
Oh, well, I'll be
I could be wrong on that.
Okay.
Because I'll be honest with you, it was about 1 a.m. when I did the research notes for this. And I had a very hard day at Mrs. Lucas, who had... sent me to Tesco with her.
Yeah.
And then I went to my dad's grave twice.
Why?
Because I didn't have time when I arrived because I was 3 hours late. Because
he's not going anywhere.
Oh! Brutal. Brutal.
You're not going to miss him. Well, you're going to miss him.
Now, that is harsh. That is low. That is low.
Come on!
Come on. I'm going to do an Owen Jones mic drop. I'm out.
When did it happen?
This was released in 1981.
But it took him 11 years to make it, didn't it?
Yes.
So it's sort of between 1971 and...
Well, 1970 and 1981. Yeah, it got released in 1981.
How many people died?
Nobody actually died.
Which is a surprise if you watch the film.
Oh, yes, because a large number of people were seriously injured. Which you would kind of expect if you put a lot of actors in with a shed load of various wild cats.
This whole film is on YouTube.
Yes, you alerted me to it.
So you can watch it. Mm. And I think that whatever we say in this podcast, it's not going to come across just how many lions and tigers and pumas and elephants are actually in this film. There are bits where the lions look literally like rats.
There's more than a pride of lions, isn't there? I mean, there's two or three prides of lions. There's pumas, jaguars, tigers, elephants.
Yeah. And they all seem pretty wild.
And really, quite angry.
They're not like, they don't look like Siegfried and Roy tigers, although they were quite mawly as well. But like, they look pretty freaking terrifying.
They do, I mean, if anyone did die on that film, it would be the best footage ever. It's not some grainy CCTV or YouTube footage.
Really good, really
this
good
is almost
footage.
Like 70 millimetre.
And you can see, I mean, we'll get into it later, but you can see when the lions do something much more ferocious than they were expecting.
Would that be because of the blood pouring out of the actors' heads?
Yes, that's right, because the real blood. And because, like, they wind them. And, and you can see those moments where the actors are terrified, genuinely terrified.
There was one bit I saw where a lion just knocked the bloke over, completely winded him, bit his head, and then the actor got up and went, "Ha ha, she just playing." And
yeah, that's right.
He says, really struggling to say that.
He says something, he's in the middle of a line, and then he gets physically knocked over by about 10 lions, doesn't he? And they look like they're trying to rip his head off.
Yeah.
And he's trying to sort of be like,
"It's just playing, I'm telling you.
But you could get killed.
The cat's got a little extra. Yeah, that's all. Ow. Ow. Are you okay? Mom, you're crazy. Wow.
That was the first, because that's about 10...
That 10 minutes in, is, 10 that's minutes the first in. Bit where you go, because the first 10 minutes is just landscape.
There's lots of like, the mayor, and shimmery sort of sunlight and stuff, like as you would imagine a film set in Africa.
And then it's 1 hour, 20 minutes of mauling.
The plot is essentially, a man lives with lions in Africa, and his family are coming to visit him, right?
Yes.
They're all friends, right? And they're actually the real family, aren't they? They're all related.
Yeah, we'll get into that,
come into that. So his family comes to visit him, right? They go to the airport, and a guy at the airport goes, get a bus to the lion sanctuary. But the guy who runs the lion sanctuary goes to the airport. But on the way to the airport, his boat capsizes. So it takes him like a day and a half to get to the airport. And then when he's at the airport, he's like, are they here? It's a day and a half later. Of course they're not fucking here, right? So then he hires a car and goes back to the house, right? Meanwhile, his family have got a bus to the house, and while he's not been there, they've been attacked by lions for an entire day. That's the whole plot.
It is, isn't
it? So it is literally an hour of Tibby Hedren and Melanie Griffiths and their two other brothers being attacked by lions in a place.
Yeah, that's exactly it. In fact, if you want, Phil, I copied down a summary of the film from The Guardian gave this as their plot.
Oh, okay.
And I think you don't get much better than this.
Oh, God, no.
Which is The Guardian, but, you know, I'll allow that.
Okay.
The basic plot is that Noel Marshall is working as a zoologist in Africa.
Yeah.
And maybe he's a doctor too. There's a shot of him in a white coat among the Maasai villages. For a movie that took over 10 years to make, it's a tad incoherent.
Yeah, what is his job?
Some sort of zoologist scientist studying the lions.
He's so stoned as well. He's like, hey guys, there's lions. It's all going to be fine.
Yeah,
what is your job?
It doesn't look scientific.
No.
But anyway, Marshall's family is coming to live with him after some time apart, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Now that he's allegedly got his homestead settled. The compound consists of a whole mess of lions, tigers, pumas, you name it, romping around the interior of the house, on the porch, the little pier meets the visitors' boats when they arrive. Some moustache-twirling poachers don't like the idea of him protecting all these big cats, but Marshall defends it all with aphorisms.
Yes.
And I think that sums up the film quite well, doesn't it?
They have a go at putting some baddies in it, which is like two kind of moustachio-twirly kind of guys.
Yeah.
But they're really just in it to be mauled at the end.
Oh, yeah.
So that you've got some sort of closure.
And they look like bit actors in Chips.
They really
do remember
that? Don't they? Yeah, they really, really do. So, Phil, let's get into this properly.
Yes.
All right, give me some background on Roar. Background me up. How did the film come about?
Right, well, this was a film written, directed and produced by a chap called Noel Marshall.
Yeah.
It starred himself.
Yeah.
And his then-wife, Tippi Hedren.
Yep.
It also starred Hedren's daughter from a previous marriage, Melanie Griffith.
Yep.
And Noel Marshall's sons from previous marriage, John and Jerry.
Cool.
Potential ice cream brand.
Isn't it?
So, I'm already, Phil, getting the vibe that this is very much a family labour of love.
I've heard people call it the most expensive home movie ever filmed.
That would be
accurate.
Because
that is essentially it, isn't it?
Yeah. But I kind of like that because it's this family or these people have got something they're passionate about. This is not just some sort of Hollywood line production, you know, movie B-34 is now in the can. Let's move on to B-35. Yeah. What's that one about?
Because they were living with lions, weren't they? Tippi Hedren and that were living with lions.
Well, we'll get into this.
Oh, okay.
But before I do that, Phil, I'm going to break you down here. No,
break down?
Break is what I'm trying to say. And fill you in on those names that I've just mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Noel Marshall.
Yep.
He loved animals.
Yeah.
He was also the executive producer on The Exorcist.
This is great that he was the executive producer on The Exorcist. The Exorcist is a fantastic film. Are you a fan?
I've only seen it half-assed, three-quarters. Not really. It's all right. Yeah, I think what I've seen of it's good. I mean, it's not Carry On at MacIver, but it's all right.
I would prefer Carry On films if it was one of the Bernard Breslau screamed your mother sucks cocks in hell
now
at
that
Sid
like.
James halfway through. Yes, I love The Exorcist. Tippi Hedren.
She started off as a model, became an actress, and then on to be a animal rights activist.
Mm-hmm.
She is probably most famous for being in the Hitchcock film The Birds.
Mm.
Now, I don't know if that's true, but I haven't heard. No, I don't know if she's most famous for that.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. It's just I hadn't heard of any of the other films that she'd been in. To be fair, I've never seen The Sound of Music, so I don't know anything.
I don't like The Sound of Music. I'm not sure anyone's
You've
seen it.
Seen it though.
Yeah, but everyone falls asleep in the middle.
Considering it's got Nazis in, I'm amazed I've never seen it.
It's not for me, The Sound of Music,
no?
I've got to be honest. But The Birds...
Very good film, even though The Birds are terrible.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's a bloke holding a... not even stuffed, are they? They're virtually papier-mâché.
They're pretty much just... being thrown at her in a cupboard.
Yeah.
I think there's something really interesting about the fact that Tippi Hedren was in The Birds.
Mm.
Because The Birds is always... Do you like Hitchcock?
Yes, I do, actually.
Hitchcock is very, very... It's incredible, right?
Yes.
And Hitchcock gets a bad rep because he was a psychopath. Right?
Well, you need that darker personality to create such great art,
don't you, though?
I believe.
But people always talk about Tippi Hedren. So basically, Alfred Hitchcock put her in a room and literally pelted her with like canaries for 5 days or something. Just carried on. Just fucking throw birds at her! Just fucking throw birds at her until she breaks. Right?
Yeah, you got stuff for your art.
But everyone talks about that being a sort of... Tippi Hedren had to deal with this really, really difficult thing because she was like having birds flung at her.
Mm.
And then like 20 years later, some dude is literally throwing lions at her. Literally. Like getting lions rolled up. Throwing them at Tippi Hedren.
I mean, whatever you think about being uncomfortable about a load of budgerigars flapping around your head, they're not going to rip that head off.
And no one says a damn thing.
Yeah. Because nobody knows about this film.
Melanie Griffiths is in it.
Yes. Now, I've heard of her.
Yep.
She's an actress, isn't she?
She is.
Now, I couldn't tell you what she looked like.
Oh.
Or any film she's ever been in.
Right.
Except Raw.
Yeah.
I only found out about that 10 minutes before writing this that I am reading now. But having watched it, I guess she was Melanie Griffith because she was the youngest one in it.
Yes.
And she's quite pretty.
She's very pretty. She's very young in this.
What films has she been in? Would I know them?
We'd have to Google it, I'm afraid.
Oh, you must know off the top of your head.
I don't know Melanie Griffith.
I thought
Griffith
she was
film.
Famous.
She is really famous, but I was thinking when we were coming here, let's quickly Google it because I
no,
can't.
No, I'm not prepared to do that.
Why not?
Because if I said to you Robert Redford, you would be able to name me three films that Robert Redford had been in.
I would, yes.
And if I said to you... who's that one who's got a... Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah.
You could name me films.
I could,
now,
yeah.
I would say, in terms of names for people that are well-known,
yeah.
Melanie Griffith is up there.
Yes,
I've heard
it is up there, yeah.
So why you can't tell me a film she's been in if she's
a big
actress?
Maybe it's the patriarchy. I don't know.
Right, I don't want to, but we're going to have to Google it,
she
aren't
is
we?
Really famous, yeah. Melanie Griffith. Like, more famous than Tippi Hedren, I'd have said. But bollocks if I can remember what she's been in.
All right, let's Google it. Melanie... Griffith. Okay, right, let's have a look. Here we are. Dun, 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 dun. Filmography. Oh, we're going to have to go through about 30 films before we actually get... Oh, no, hang on, that's philanthropy. Right. actually, fair play. I've not heard of any of these.
Oh, okay.
So why is she so famous? Because these are all films no one's ever heard of.
I bet I've heard of them.
Right, I bet you haven't.
All right.
Smith.
No.
To be fair, she was an extra uncredited.
Okay.
Right, okay. Night Moves.
No.
The Drowning Pool.
No.
Smile.
No.
The Garden.
No.
One on One.
No.
Joyride.
No.
Raw.
Yes.
Exactly. Right, after that.
Yeah.
So she made her name in Raw.
Yeah.
Body Double.
No.
Fear City.
No.
How has this woman become... How do I...
She's working up to it.
Underground Aces.
No.
Body Double.
No.
Fear City.
No.
Something Wild.
No.
Cherry 2000.
No.
The Milagro Beanfield War.
No.
Stormy Monday.
No.
Right, then we're on to Working Girl.
Yes!
That's the film she's made. From then on, this is apparently, according to you, is her big film.
Yeah, definitely.
So from now, we should know pretty much everything she's done.
Yeah.
In the Spirit.
No.
Ah, Pacific Heights.
No.
Oh, I thought I'd heard of that. Maybe I'm thinking of something. Ah, Bonfire of the Vanities. I've heard of that.
Oh, yes.
Wasn't that unsuccessful?
Yes.
Yes, I've heard of that. Paradise.
No.
Shining Through.
No.
Stranger Among Us.
No.
Born Yesterday.
No.
Milk Money.
No. Oh, no.
I like the sound of that. Nobody's Fool.
No.
Now and Then.
No.
Too Much.
No.
Mulholland Falls.
No.
Lolita.
What?
I think it must be a remake.
Okay, no.
Another Day in Paradise.
No.
Shadow of Doubt.
What?
Director Video. Even it says there, Director Video.
Okay, no.
Celebrity.
No.
Crazy in Alabama.
No.
Cecil B. Demented.
Cecil B. Demented she was in.
Yeah. What's, you heard of that?
I mean, I've heard the name. I've not seen it.
Okay. Have you heard the follow-up film she made? Tart.
No.
Searching for Deborah Winger.
No.
Stuart Little 2.
I've heard of Stuart Little 2.
I've heard of that. Even I've heard. I've not seen it, but I've heard of
no,
it.
No, that's good.
The Night We Called a Day.
No.
Shade.
No.
I'm carrying on.
Yeah.
Tempo.
No.
A Turtle's Tale, Sammy's Adventures.
No.
Yellow.
No.
Dino Time.
No.
Dark Tourist.
No.
Automata.
What? No.
Thirst.
No.
Day Out of Days.
I might have seen Thirst.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a vampire film.
So it says it's a short film. She played Sue.
Oh, no.
The Disaster Artist.
Oh, yes. Okay, so yes.
Oh, that's, I know no, that film. That's known, is it? Okay. Yeah. And The Pirates of Somalia.
No.
Right. So why is she so well known then?
I guess she was the daughter of Tippi Hedren. So that's Melanie Griffiths. What about Noel Marshall?
Oh, yes, we've still got other people, haven't we?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's Melanie Griffiths. What about Noel Marshall's sons, John and Jerry?
Well, as you'd expect, with two blokes called John and Jerry, who should be an ice cream brand, I know nothing about them, apart from the fact they're in this film we're going to discuss.
I don't think they do anything. I don't think they're actors or anything like that. I just went off and had real lives.
Yeah, I think they're just the sons of the bloke whose mad idea this was all.
But they're not the, that's not the only cast. The family's not the only cast. There's the two baddies, which, I mean, it's so little, there's no point talking about them, really. They're just there to have
a baddie.
Yeah, to shoot lions when they're not supposed to be shooting lions, and to, you know, get killed at the end so you've got some kind of closure. But there's there's his mate... His
the African guy.
The African guy who's just horrified by the whole thing. You cannot live with lions. They will kill you.
Well,
what are you doing? They will kill you.
I saw an interview with him because he's generally from Kenya or something.
He's great in it.
Yeah.
He's really good. He's very funny.
And he said off camera, he was like, I really had reservations about this. He said, I did my parts, but I just ran away afterwards. He said, because I was brought up with these animals. But what I was brought up to do is to have no contact with them whatsoever. Because they're really dangerous.
He's the only one that comes across as not insane.
Well, Because he knows that lions knows. Are deadly.
Yeah.
And so are tigers and leopards and pumas and angry elephants.
I think it's interesting. Well, the elephant, we'll come on to the elephant, because that is one of the genuinely most terrifying parts of this film, I think.
But that shocked
bit.
Me. Suddenly, I'm just watching it. I mean, I'm almost getting used to the lions. I'm just pouring a drink. I'm almost getting used to the lions, pumas, tigers, leopards mauling.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, a really angry elephant just appears. No introduction.
Yeah. No introduction.
Not even. All you see is all the lions look up as if they've heard a sound.
Yeah.
And the next thing you see is an elephant with a car bonnet.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
I mean, the elephant is terrifying because to make it the absolute clusterfuck of a film of lions attacking, they've cut a lot of stuff together. I mean, it's got great pace, this film. Mm. It starts with lion attacks about 10 minutes in, and then it's pretty much constant lion, constant. Tiger and puma attacks all the way through. But that elephant isn't like... They're not cutting that. That is an angry fucking elephant.
He's really angry.
Angry, fucked off, doesn't know what it is. It's obviously hurting Tippi Hedren, and we'll come on to what that what elephant did to Tippi Hedren.
Yeah.
The elephant, it's not a car bonnet. He destroys their boat.
Oh, is that a boat, is it?
Yeah, it's their boat. He rips that elephant rips the boat apart. And there's a bit where the elephant rips with its tusk a bit of the boat off. And then kicks it across the savannah.
I looked into it, and that elephant would have weighed 6,000 kilograms.
Whoa, Jesus Christ.
That's all well and good, but what we really want to know is how this idea for a film about consistent mauling came about. Phil Gerrard.
Well, the idea for the film apparently came about when Hedren and Marshall, right, they learned about endangered wildlife. Right, whilst Hedren was filming something in Mozambique in 1969.
Oh.
And this is something that Hollywood actors do, innit? Like, they get a little bee in their bonnet, and then suddenly they're like the oracles about it.
Yeah, it's almost like they're rich, entitled, but not that clever.
Isn't it, though? Like, I'll just be the figurehead for that. Mm. You know what I mean? Anyway, I'm sure there's a lot of, you know, it comes from a good place, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, they do seem to genuinely love the animals.
Yes.
Despite what all the animals did to them.
Yes, that's right.
And I believe they did start after this film and right up to, you know, I think it's still going. They've got a rescue centre in Africa, haven't they?
Yeah, it's not going to be too hard on them. You know, they're doing good work. They're doing better work than we are, aren't we, Phil?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
Well, I'm veggie, so I've made a start.
Yes, but I'm eating double meat. Do you know what? It's freaking difficult eating your portions of meat. Fucking knackered, mate. Yeah. There's so much protein. After this, right, so... So after they got well into animals, old Marshall got an idea for a film and he started to write the script.
Right.
Right. Now, the working title, right, this is called Raw, right? And it's a good title.
It's a good, very good title.
It's good. I mean, it's not great because it's like, it's probably a little bit, it doesn't really go for the jugular. You don't really know what you're getting.
Unlike
really.
The lions.
Yes, exactly.
In the film.
But the working title was the much more prosaic, Lions, Lions and More Lions! Which I think, if you watched that film, Lions, Lions and More Lions is what you're getting.
You are. But I also think it's a great title, but actually doing it a disservice.
Yeah.
Because that is not mentioning shed loads of tigers, lots of black panthers, lots of leopards, and very, very angry elephants.
Do you know what? The panthers I wanted to talk about.
Oh, okay.
Because the lions are in it a lot, and the lions are kind of playful. The tigers are genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
The tigers look like they are not... They're not into it. They're just there, you know. And there's a terrifying bit where he puts two tigers on the back of a car.
Yeah.
And he's driving at like 60 miles an hour through the desert with two massive tigers in his car.
Mm.
And it looks like any moment they're going to go, fuck this, and just rip their heads off. Because they don't. But it's the pumas that were really scary. Because the pumas literally look like they're wild. They don't look like they're fucking
They probably are. You could probably find a fair amount if you were to go around the world. You got any sort of tamed lions?
Yeah.
Now, of course, no lion is tamed, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But there probably aren't that many sort of circus pumas.
No, there really
knocking
aren't.
Around.
Because, like, if a lion came in here, I'd be scared. But if a puma, pumas are terrifying fucking things, aren't they? Anyway, the whole family... It's weird that it's a family unit.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. So the whole family prepare for the film by bringing lions into their California home. And they live with them.
Of course.
For a little bit.
I've seen these photos before I knew anything about this film. A few years ago, I'd seen photos of this Hollywood couple with lions in their swimming pool, but I didn't put the connection. I was just like, oh, you stupid, stupid post-60s hippies.
Lots of them did it. Everyone had a monkey, didn't they? Or everybody had a big... And I suppose this is why they say that the big cats are in the countryside, isn't it? It's because they get out.
Someone bought... I think there was a news thing, someone in the 70s like Harrods, we can source anything for you. And some bloke in London bought a lion cub, didn't he?
I remember that.
Yeah, that sort of twat.
So anyway, yes, it was the 70s. So I guess some of the drugs from the 60s were still going through the systems. By the time filming had started, the family had over 30 big cats living with them.
That's a lot.
Which eventually increased to about 150.
Whoa, they're all in the film. Yeah. Because there is definitely about 150 animals in this film.
That film's the scenes in the downstairs of the ranch, I guess it's a ranch house, isn't it? And there's a very strange scene right at the end where they all go to sleep with the lions. And just to see them, like a sea of lions. And they have them all, when they're all looking down, hundreds and hundreds of lions. Yes,
I mean, I wouldn't go through Woburn Safari Park and undo my window 2 inches.
No, absolutely
whilst
not.
Whilst in the car.
No, absolutely not. It's because I make you pay. Phil. Do you want to know about filming?
Yes, please tell me.
So the filming on this masterpiece, and I do think it is a masterpiece.
It is.
It's not a bad film.
No.
It's not a good film.
It's of its time in terms of acting.
Yeah, it doesn't have a plot, doesn't have acting. But what it does have is shitloads of lions, real lions. And there's a real, genuine, palpable sense of terror.
Oh, yeah.
It's supposed to be a comedy. Do you know that?
No.
It's a comedy film.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah. The poster for this film is like the two tigers in a car, and it's like, oh, like a hilarious comedy.
I
think it's genuinely one of the most terrifying films I've ever seen.
Well, this is the thing, because nothing in it is scripted. Yeah. Well, obviously the words are scripted, but they're saying scripted things, and then suddenly a lion decides, bang, it's going to attack you.
Yeah.
You can't then keep to script. I mean, they tried, God love them. But
I mean, some parts are straight up horror film.
Everything's kept in, wasn't it?
Yeah, everything's kept in.
Yeah.
They've got one line. They need to differentiate the good line. There's a good line and bad line, isn't there?
Yeah.
And to differentiate the two lions, they cover the bad line in blood. Like, he's got a face drenched with blood, hasn't he?
Yeah.
And there were two bits that were, like, supposed to be funny, but were actually terrifying. It's like, he leaves a guy up a tree, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And he says, just wave your shirt to make sure that the tigers don't follow me, and I'll just come back and get you tomorrow. I say, that fucker's stuck up a tree with two tigers. And then the other bit is where he gives him an umbrella.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
He says he's trapped with two tigers on a car, and he goes, oh, here's an umbrella, just flap the umbrella.
You were so shocked by that, you actually WhatsApped me as you were watching it. I went, you've got to watch this bit, it's mad. Our hero gets an umbrella.
I mean, fucking terrifying.
It's just, it is a mad film. I mean, obviously, no CGI, no effects.
Yeah.
The most they've done is edited genuine horrific footage.
Yeah.
In different ways, and even then most of it seems real time.
I mean, there's a bit where a man, to get away from the lions, he jumps into a barrel of water, right? And then the lions come along and drink from the barrel. So he has to, like, duck down in the barrel. He's drowning, because it's either drowning in the barrel or being eaten by lions. I mean, it's not fucking Some Mothers Do Have Them, is it?
It really amazes me nobody died.
Yes, I think so. Especially when you see Tippi Hedren come off that elephant.
Yeah.
You're like... So anyway, the filming began in California in 1976. Okay, so this is when the real madness starts.
Right. So they've lived with animals in their ranch for a few years to get the vibe.
To get the vibe of what it's like to live with killers. Right. The schedule was it was going to take about 6 months to film this film.
Okay, seems reasonable.
It ended up taking 11 years.
Oof.
Doesn't look like a film that took 11 years, does it? I mean, it looked like a film that took, you know, quite a difficult afternoon.
Yeah.
And lots of things went wrong, obviously, that were outside of lions. So it's not just the lions that made this a difficult shoot. There was a broken dam 3 years into the shooting process, which caused the surrounding lake to be filled with sediment, adding 6 feet to its height.
Oh, so what, flooding?
So I guess their set was fucked for a little while. There's lots and lots of great sets being fucked stories, you know, like Apocalypse Now that all washed away.
Oh, right,
you know that the hotel in The Shining burned down?
No. Yeah. Did it? Yes. But it's still there, isn't it?
Well, no. The Shining Hotel is a complete set.
Yes, but the external. You mean the set
burned
down.
No, the actual set burned down.
Oh, I see. Right,
and there's a brilliant photograph of Stanley Kubrick standing in the wreckage, pissing himself laughing. Lots of sets burned down, get washed away, and all this sort of stuff. The Santa Clarita Ranch was destroyed in the process of this flood. The ranch is very pretty, isn't it?
It's nice, yeah.
Beautiful.
Real, yeah. It's
lovely,
a lovely
palatial
place.
Thing. That caused about $3 million $1 million worth of damages. Most of the editing equipment, film equipment, and the set was destroyed. Everything was destroyed, basically.
Well, I think the guy invested most of the money he earned off The Exorcist, didn't he, into it?
Really?
And because it kept going wrong, they were hemorrhaging money. I think they were selling their houses at the end and trying to refinance, and it all went wrong.
I mean, he could have lived forever off the money from The Exorcist. Yeah. What a shame. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
15 lions and tigers escaped the set.
It's not bad out of 150.
But the thing is, I've still got it in my mind that this is Africa. And you're like, oh, okay, they've gone into the savannah. But they haven't. They've gone to LA.
Yeah.
They've gone to fucking Venice Beach. That's where those 15 lions and tigers have gone. This is not a small deal. Right. Okay, the sheriff and the local law enforcement had to shoot and kill three lions. Including the lead lion, Robbie.
Oh, Robbie is the lead lion.
Robbie's the good lion, isn't he? It's okay, though. Because they got a new Robbie.
Oh, okay.
Okay, or maybe just renamed one of the many, many, many of the lions, which I've got to be honest. I mean, I can't tell lions, I don't want to be racist, but I can't tell lions apart.
Yeah, you lose one.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You're not on the phone to your agent going, I need another one. Because they've got 140 that look the same.
I think if I was the sheriff and someone said, someone's lost a lion, I wouldn't go, yeah, what does he look like? I'd be like, I want to find it and shoot it. Jesus Christ, man. Anyway, what we've said, what all of that is just an overview of the problems, right?
Yeah, it was bad.
So it was bad. But that's just, there's a lot of films, apart from Lions and Tigers Escaping, a lot of films have these sorts of problems.
Yes.
So this is a film that took 11 years to film. 11 long years.
No, 11 years, right. That is the time from when I popped out my mum in a hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I've been circumcised.
Oh, God, really?
I got told off for showing Sarah someone at primary school, me Willie, when she asked me to. Still think it was unfair. She asked me.
#MeToo.
I've seen a few trains. My dad took me to work.
Yeah.
And now I'm in secondary school.
Yeah.
That has all happened in the time it took to make this film.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was 11 long years it took to make this film, and it was a complete flop.
Oh.
Mega flop when it was eventually released. But... forget all about that, Phil. Why are we here? The reason we are here is to talk about what it was like trying to make a film with 150 wild lions in a house in California.
Well, this is it. It's not so much. It's a disaster in the sense that it didn't make any money.
Yes, that's right.
So there's that.
And it's what happened to the crew.
Well, but yeah, I mean, by Bhopal standards, this is not a disaster.
No.
This is just ludicrous, and they're all very lucky that
they didn't get killed.
Yeah.
Right, so shall I tell you what happened?
Yes, please.
During the filming, over 70 members of the cast and crew were injured because of the making of
this
film.
That's two full school classes.
Yes. Many of the attacks from the animals resulted in real blood from the actors showing up in the final cut of the film.
And that is very evident.
Yes.
Yeah, there's no fakery.
No, there is one part where his hand is bleeding and a lion is trying to lick it. And he's going, oh, no, don't lick, no. It has been described as the most dangerous film ever made.
It can't be anything but, surely.
Right, so here's a rundown of the injuries. Right.
Right.
Cinematographer Jan de Bont was scalped, requiring 220 stitches.
Scalped, what a word.
Freaking scalped.
Scalped. Does that mean like top of his head was...
Yeah.
Oh.
And it's Jan de Bont.
He's quite well known, isn't he?
Jan de Bont is like Speed and Twister, Cujo, Die Hard.
Oh.
He made Basic Instinct.
Oh.
Well, he's involved in it. I mean, these aren't like tin pot people.
Mind you, a couple of those films, you can understand why a bit of his head's missing.
In madness. So poor
scalped.
Poor old Jan de Bont. Melanie Griffiths was mauled by a lion. Melanie, she required facial reconstructive surgery. She's only a young girl in this as well.
Very young,
isn't
she?
You know what I mean? The assistant director, Doran Cowper, had his throat bitten open. Like, so I mean, they're not small injuries.
No.
They're bad injuries. So he had his throat bitten open, his jaw was bitten, and one of the lions attempted to rip his ear off. He was also... they didn't like the assistant
they
director
didn't like
lions.
Him, didn't they? He must have been a right taskmaster.
He was also injured in the head, chest and thigh. He only just managed to escape death. When a lion missed his jugular by an inch.
Ooh.
He's at work.
Wow.
Tippi Hedren, arguably the most famous person in this, certainly at that time. So she endured a fractured leg and multiple scalp wounds.
Oh, she was scalped as well.
You can see why they got so many scalp wounds, because the lions come at them, even when they're being playful, and they whack their paws on their heads, don't they, and drag them down. Mm. You can see them ripping their ripping their heads open.
Definitely.
But the fractured leg, by the way... Mm. Wasn't from the lions at all. It was from the frickin' elephants.
Oh, the one, the big 6,000-kilogram elephant we talked about.
Yeah, watch the elephant scene, because that's when you can really tell that actually she's being hurt. Mm. And she falls... I assume they kept it in the film.
She falls into an edge of a lake or something, doesn't she?
Yeah, and she falls heavy. Yeah. You know, you can see a heavy fall. She was also bitten in the neck by a lion.
Just to rub it in.
Which required 38 stitches.
38.
38.
She has been through the mill, this poor lady, didn't she?
But Noel Marshall, the guy in charge of this all, he didn't get away scot-free.
I'm convinced he's a psychopath.
He was wounded so many times by lions that he was hospitalised with gangrene.
So his wounds had just got infected.
Yes, because he does get the most of it. He gets the full
brunt. And rightly so.
Rightly.
Because he's putting everyone he knows... potentially in the way of death.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's including his wife and children. Yeah.
So it's absolutely right. Speaking in an interview in 2015, John Marshall, Noel's son, said the following, Phil.
I believe the actual injuries were over 100. It was somewhere between 70 and 100 anyway. Nowadays, there's so much regulation. If you're working on a film and two people get injured, they come in and shut you down. They have safety meetings and they say, oh, what are we going to do to change the situation? If they did that to us after two bites, we would have said, I don't know what else we can do differently. Should we do it with dogs? I don't know.
Do you know what? Before you carry on, if this film was exactly the same but with dogs, it would still be fucking terrifying.
Oh, yeah. If that was Alsatians.
Yeah, it would still be terrifying. Mm. I reckon do this with cats, it would be unnerving. Do it with fucking hamsters and it would still give you nightmares. Imagine a film. It's like 700 hamsters. Like... yeah, called Eek.
Yeah.
Eek, exclamation mark. Sorry, carry on.
If we want to make a movie with lions, people are going to get bitten. We just hope that nobody dies, and we'll do everything we can to make sure that doesn't happen.
We just hope that nobody dies.
Yeah. It was different times. Different times.
Tippi Hedren added the following, Phil.
My then husband, Noel Marshall, was in hospital so many times they were going to name a wing after him.
I love my then husband.
Yeah.
That absolutely matters. So, Phil, tell me about the film's release.
Okay. So, the film was released in 1981, but was only screened for 1 week.
Oh, God, it's not a good ratio, is it?
After all of that, it was not well received. And this is despite it having one of the best taglines on release.
It's great,
ever.
Isn't it?
No animals were harmed during the making of this film, but a lot of people were. So, it wasn't that popular. Variety, which is a magazine, isn't it? Variety magazine?
Yep.
They said that it aims to be kind of like a Jaws of the Jungle, but comes across more like Born Free Gone Berserk. Which I think is quite accurate.
Do you know what? I don't think that's fair, because it's nothing like Jaws.
It's got
nothing really that's close to Jaws.
So I said it's accurate and then totally agreed with you when you said it isn't. But the Born Free
No, I think Born Free Gone Berserk, that is exactly what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Jaws is... well-scripted.
Yeah, and it's one shark, they go and try and kill it. No one's trying to kill these animals. They're literally just trying to not be killed.
That's true. Roy Schneider is not going to go down to the bottom of the ocean and have a
happy,
trippy time with 150 great white sharks.
It would be Jaws of the Jungle if they had 150 sharks and Roy Schneider, naked, wrestling them, going, they're just playing! They're just playing! God, it's so painful! Yeah, but Born Free Gone Berserk really does, that is what it is.
And I think LA Weekly went further and they simply described the film as Big Cats Destroy a House.
Yes, we haven't discussed that, have we? They don't just maul the people, they rip the house to shreds.
They rip it to shreds.
And they pull it all apart and all the rest.
Which I think if nobody was involved and you just watched a load of cats do that would be quite a good talking point.
Yes, absolutely.
But you totally ignore it. Just like, these cats are mullering this.
Yeah.
There was one, like a lion just sitting on the sofa and it's just like... Well, I'm just going to pull this whole sofa apart that I'm sitting on. just rip it apart.
Did you see the lion that had a trainer attached to its jaw? Yeah. Couldn't get its eaten half a trainer. And it's just trying to get a trainer out of its mouth. If that had happened in the first 5 minutes, I would have texted you. Mm. But because it was at like minute 51, I was like, fuck it, man, yeah.
Well, at least no bodies being mauled.
Yes, exactly.
So needless to say, the film was actually not released theatrically in the United States.
Shame.
And was very soon completely forgotten about.
Yeah, it's not famous, is it?
No, not famous at all. It was only really in 2015, 34 years later, when it was picked up for distribution by a very small film company, and they screened it across the states at sort of various independent cinemas. So it kind of gave it a very small cult following. It just brought it out into the wider world. As for box office, Raw cost $17 million to make. Don't know what that would equate to nowadays, but you've got to be talking in the 80-90... Oh, it's got to be over 100 million, hasn't it?
Jesus.
But it made 2 million, so it made a massive loss. Complete and utter bomb.
So what happened to this madman, Noel Marshall, after this mad film?
Well, I think as I mentioned, it's not surprising to learn that shortly after the release of this film, he and Tippi Hedren got divorced.
I'm not surprised if she didn't fuck this halfway
through. I mean, having watched the film, even without knowing anything, you sort of think, she's had a rough ride in this film. And actually, Noel Marshall's son, John, confirmed that this divorce was due to events that happened during the film, and particularly Marshall's treatment of his wife.
Yeah.
He recalled that the cast had safe words when the scene became too risky, but when Hedren used hers, Marshall didn't listen and kept the scene going.
See, that's...
What a bastard.
That sounds very much like what happened on The Exorcist.
Okay.
Like, I'm
it's his wife, though.
It's his wife, yeah, but this idea that, like, you keep shooting, you know, you get some gold, you know. They used to do, and The Exorcist was all about that, was just, like, just, even when the actor said, please don't do it that hard, please don't, you're really hurting me. They go, okay, this next one will be much softer, and then they would go to the crew, like, really fucking go for it this time.
I get that, but I'm getting the vibe here that he wasn't doing that to anyone else except
his wife.
Oh, I see
what
you mean.
So he was actually trying to punish her.
Yeah.
Well, so what happened to Marshall? Is he still around?
No, he died of cancer. In 2010, unfortunately.
Oh,
I think Tippi's around still.
Tippi Hedren's still around,
I think the two sons are still around. Melanie Griffiths has probably got another load of awful films she's never heard of coming out.
Films coming out never heard of. Wow, so that was the absolutely insane story of Raw! 1981, Phil, in the final analysis, was it our fault or God's fault?
That was Noel Marshall's fault,
very
entirely.
Yes, very much Noel Marshall's fault.
Yes, entirely.
What do you think of the film?
Did
you enjoy it?
I did. And in retrospect, having gone, I'm not sure I really want to do this.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I'm really pleased we did. It is mad.
Yeah.
And I genuinely think worth watching. Because even if you don't pay any attention to the plot, you're just like, how did this get filmed?
You sit
this
with your mouth
is
open.
Insane.
You sit with your mouth open the whole film. And it's not like...
it's not terrible. There's worse films out there.
No, there are very many worse films. Mm. It's also not samey. Because, like... the animals attack in lots of different ways.
Yeah.
Right? They attack... somebody hides in a fridge and they attack the fridge and they, like...
Oh, yeah, there's a bit there where they're terrified. They're hiding in the kitchen, aren't they? These lions are, like, just trying to get milk or whatever.
There's a bit where Tippi Hedren is balancing on a water wheel with lions following her. There's, like, a guy doing stunts on a motorbike being chased by tigers.
Oh, yeah, chased by... Yeah.
You know, they're on boats. Boats get capsized by tigers. Like, two or three boats.
Yeah.
There's, like... tigers chasing people on bicycles and, like, tigers in cars. It's a complete clusterfuck of a film that doesn't really let up.
Yeah, it should be called, like, 30 Ways to Kill a Man with a Lion.
Yeah.
And some tigers.
And at the end, spoiler alert, what happens is he just comes home, they all hug and just make friends with the lions. And the last sort of, genuinely, the last 5 minutes is just footage of calm... You know, people having fun with lions, and then it ends.
Yeah.
And they're not angry with him. When he gets back to his family, they're not like, you fucking left us with a load of lions. They're like, oh, he's here now, everything's fine. And he's like, hey, guys, and he introduces him to his mate, and his mate goes, I'm fucking getting out of here. So, yes, that was the absolute madness of Raw. Phil, do you enjoy it?
Yeah, first time I can actually safely say I enjoyed the podcast because nobody died.
Oh, really?
I mean, I can still say I enjoyed a scalping.
Yeah.
Not that I didn't enjoy the scalping.
You do feel like, I don't want to say they deserved it, but it is a lesson. Like, in the same way as Siegfried and Roy. What happened to Roy, I guess, guess it was Roy. What happened to Roy was very, very tragic and horrible, but was also a lesson for humans.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, they're fucking massive wild animals. They don't give a fuck about you, and you don't really train them. The only animals we've ever really trained is dogs. We've only really sorted dogs.
Yeah.
Haven't we?
Yeah, and really? I still do. I'll never do it, which is a real shame. But I do sometimes when I see a guide dog.
Yeah,
they are beautifully trained, very well behaved.
Yeah.
I just wonder what would happen if you did put a bratwurst under one of their noses. Exactly. How trained are they?
Yeah, that's right. When is the problem? How trained are we, man? You put a bratwurst under my nose, I'll rip your throat out. Oh, yes. So there we go.
That was great. Raw. Did you enjoy it?
I love films. I love talking about films. And one of the things about films, especially in the podcast world, is that they're being done to death.
Yes.
And all of the really interesting stories that happen with films are all very, very well known. Mm. You know what I mean? You can talk about what happened on Apocalypse Now. You can talk about, you know, all these things are extremely famous. And I don't know how much our listeners know about this film, but I had never heard of this.
Well,
ever.
I'm really pleased to hear that, because when you suggested, I'm really skeptical with films to cover them, A, because I don't like films, but B, because I'm like, well, is this well known? Has somebody done it? You know, are we just gonna rehash something that everyone really liked on Netflix?
Yeah,
a documentary about it. But if you didn't know it,
no,
know everything about films because you've done a pointless degree,
I have.
Then I thought, fair play.
I genuinely don't think it's well known. I'd certainly never heard of it. I'd certainly never seen a clip of it. So it was a real, real shock. And they say it's all on YouTube. I urge you.
You've got to see it.
To watch it from beginning to end. You know, have a make a drinking game out of it. Have a drink every time somebody gets literally knocked off their feet.
My God, you'd be stomach pumped, wouldn't you? So, if you like this podcast, please do us a favour and tell people about it, either by social media or the good old word to mouth. If you feel inclined, we'd be really, really grateful if you fancied leaving us a review on iTunes. I know we say it every episode, but it really, really is helpful. And we are so grateful that some people have done that, haven't they?
I want to say thanks. Should we say thank you to everyone?
Yes.
I feel bad because, like, I listen to other podcasts and they thank people.
And we've never done it, and yet we're really grateful.
And I want to. So we're going to say thank you to everyone who's given us a review.
Okay.
You ready? So big thanks to C. Fafton.
Thank you, C. Fafton.
To Mauve Bunny.
I remember Mauve Bunny. She had a go at us for swearing, didn't she?
Yeah, but she gave us
five
stars.
But she really did enjoy it, so.
God bless her. Thank you very much, Mauve Bunny. Fraganelli.
That was a good review, if I remember.
Dave.
Oh.
Thanks, Dave.
What did he say?
He said, undecided on what type of disaster is the worst, choose from corporate rail, military aircraft, even accidental mass poisoning.
Brilliant.
Essentially, people are stupid and careless.
Good, I like him.
And bad things happen.
I'll go for a drink with him.
So thank you, Dave.
Thank you for that.
Luke Ribs. Who says, shouting into an uncaring void. 5 stars.
Perfect. I like that.
JP Simmons. Thank you very much, JP. Crazy Daisy Do.
I missed that one.
With a 5-star review entitled Traction Engines and Real Feel, which is a male sex toy. Friend of the show, Dan Fardle. Thanks, Dan Fardle. Steve_P. Thank you, Steve_P. Mike Phillips, the incredible Mike Phillips. 78.
Oh, Mike, yes.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you.
Dave Fens. I know who that is. Davis. Thank you very much, Dave Fens.
I know him, but thank you. He does a good podcast, doesn't he?
He does. What's it called?
It's called
Pop, Collaborate and Listen.
That's the one.
Should listen to that. It's very good. Simon Reeves. Thank you very much, Simon. Steve Adam.
I know, Steve.
Did our theme tune. Thank you very much, Dave. Higher Synth.
Oh, okay.
Who I imagine is a synth gentleman. And Chris Brands. Thank you very much, Chris.
Chris Brands is a name that rings a bell from Twitter.
Oh, okay.
We know Chris. We don't know Chris, but I think we know Chris. He's been very generous to us over the years.
Oh, he has, yes. Long Scarf Running. Thank you very much, Long Scarf Running.
Thank you.
The best thing ever made by two men called Phil. Very nice of him.
Yeah, I'll go with that. That's
Roz
very kind.
Roz Ryan, one of our friends, lives on
to
a boat.
To be fair, we know
Hello,
her.
Roz. And Ace Space 3. Thank you very much, Ace Space. Hevmev. Thanks, Hevmev. And last but not least, it's good old Tom73727 !1! Who says, brilliant podcast. Thanks, Tom73727 !1!
So, in future, If you send us a review, which we would be genuinely like, we actually genuinely get excited, we will totally thank you.
Also, we've had some proper stellar suggestions on Twitter.
Yes.
A really great suggestion from Kev Blokey. Kev Blokey.
Ooh,
okay. Hi, Kev. Thank you so much for your suggestions.
Yeah,
they were brilliant.
Yeah,
and
really
we will
good,
whack them on the list and do them. So thank you so much for getting in touch. It really makes a difference. You can get in touch with all the usual ways, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Stand outside Phil Lucas's house and bellow at him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, isn't it, Phil? We got anything else to add?
No, I think that's everything.
You sure?
Yeah.
Absolutely sure?
Nothing whatsoever.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely?
I'm going to go home with some kettle chips.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for listening to the Crash Band Wallet podcast this week. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another horrific Victorian tragedy.
Yay!
Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Goodbye.
Bye.